Hello, folks. Welcome to Holding On with Holder, where I talk to interesting people about interesting topics. My name is Steve Holder, and I am your host. My guest today is Lauren Roskilly, who will explain to us about how mindfulness can help with anxiety and depression. Welcome, Lauren.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. So for those who don't know anything about you, tell us who you are.
My name's Lauren. I'm from Sussex in the UK. I've been a born-again Christian for 16, almost 17 years now. I have two kids. Yeah, anything else you want to know?
Okay. So you have two kids. How old are your kids?
Well, I say kids. One's just about to turn 17 and the other one's just about to turn 13. So teens.
Okay. They keep you busy, I'm sure.
They do, but not so much as they used to.
Yeah. So you are also a Christian?
Yeah.
So what's it like being a Christian mother? Is that complicated sometimes?
Not now. I think at the beginning and the early days, it might have been a little bit. It's like where you've got to listen to the rules sort of thing, but it's not like that anymore. It's more about a relationship with Jesus, and I'm loving it.
So tell us about your blog.
Okay, so the niche for my blog is faith and improving mental health, well-being and resilience. So it combines the lot of it. So using scripture, prayer, meditation, and my journey and how God has helped me through tough times. And the aim of it really is to help and encourage other people with my experiences and using the Bible and my faith.
Yeah. So you have a background with anxiety. You have a history of anxiety.
I think the anxiety really stems from my illness. So I have something called neurocardiogenic syncope, which I've had since the age of 14, and I only got diagnosed with 2 years ago. I basically pass out quite regularly. My blood pressure drops, my heart rate drops, and then it's to do with the signals from my heart to my brain, and I just black out. Wow. So the anxiety came from that, really. Anxious in leaving the house, anxious in being on my own, anxious standing on concrete because I've whacked my head so many times. So the anxiety stems from that, really.
Yeah. And you also, I believe, went into depression. Was that related to that?
The last bout of it was. Yeah, I first experienced it when I was late teens, and then the last time I experienced it, I had so this syncope. I can have it, and it lasts for. I would have an episode between 1 and 5 episodes a day, and that could last a day. It could last a week, a month. And it can last up to a couple of years, those bad patches. And then it kind of gets better, and there's a little short period where I'm okay, and then it comes back again. And that's what it's been like since the beginning. So the last moments I had, I finally was able to do my driving. Because of this, I haven't been able to do it. So that was 2017, 2018. And I was working for a Christian charity. I wasn't long a single mum just after that, but things were looking good. Things were great. And then I had some really bad episodes, which put me on the cardiology ward for a week. And then I was told I couldn't drive anymore. I was on sick from work for 10 months before they asked me to resign. And yeah, that's when the depression kicked in again. And yeah, it was dark, dark times. Yeah, I was self-harming. I won't go into that unless you want me to.
If you want to, that's up to you. I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. Well, I was cutting. And it was, yeah, it felt hopeless. I think it was the not being in control. I think as I don't know what the reason is, but maybe it's being a single mum or just my personality. I like being in control of things, and that the illness is one thing that I couldn't control. Obviously, I took the advice from the consultant and, I don't know, drink more water, have more salt, but I couldn't actually control the episodes, and I couldn't control losing my job, and I couldn't control losing my license, and I couldn't control not being able to take after the kids. And I think that that's where that stemmed from, to be honest. It wasn't nice. And as I said, it was a dark period, but my faith kept me going. My faith that kept me through that. So there was the little speck of light at the end of the tunnel, but at the time the tunnel was long and narrow and the speck was off in the distance, but I could never dismiss that speck. That speck was always there, but it was that dark tunnel. So yeah.
I know what it's like to be in depression. You don't have any hope. You just feel like there is no way out and it's not ever, ever going to end. I know what that feels like. So have you had any negative experiences from your Christian friends or family telling you that if you have anxiety and depression, you just need more Jesus? I mean, I've had people tell me things like that.
Well, we all do. People with depression and people without, we need more Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's more to do with, well, to be honest, no, I haven't personally experienced anyone saying that to me. I haven't come across that. But I was aware in my own head, I just assumed that people would say that to me. So I would go to church and people would like, oh, how are you? And I'd be like, I'm fine. Just that mask. I'm fine mask.
People want to hear.
Yeah, because you just, yeah. And that was my assumption. It wasn't what anyone had said to me. It was just my assumption. I had that in my head that people might think I wasn't close enough to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because of the way I was. It wasn't actually the case, I don't think, but yeah, that was what I believed at one point.
On your website, you talk about self-care and soul care. Can you tell us exactly what you mean by those two things and how they are different?
Yeah, well, self-care is like looking after ourselves in the moment, like take a bubble bath, have a treat. It's short term, it's like taking a break or time out. Whereas soul care is more long lasting, replenishment and satisfaction. And it includes, the soul is made up of self, emotions, will, intellect, evil, and conscience. And so soul care is taking all of those six factors into consideration and looking after them. And the key is looking to Jesus and putting it all to Jesus. And it just gives you that longer lasting contentment. So, yeah.
Some people will also say, as Christians, we're supposed to put ourselves last. And that self-care and trying to do what's good for us is being selfish. What do you say to that?
Well, how can we look after anybody else if we don't look after ourselves?
We
look after, if we've got a cold, no, hold on. If we're not well, we go to bed or we take a paracetamol. We look after ourselves, don't we? Our mental health is just as important as our physical self.
And more so.
Yeah. And what use are we to anyone if we can't look after ourselves? I mean, I was like that when I was ill or when I was starting to get better. I had to look after myself. If I didn't, I would get worse.
Yeah.
And it's my kids that looked after me. So if I didn't, then it's putting it on them. So I had to learn the hard way. You need to look after yourself. You need to listen to your body, what your body needs. And yeah, some people might see it as selfish, but at the end of the day, like I said, I'm just repeating myself now. We're no use to anybody if we don't. I'm not saying focus everything all on yourself. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Yeah.
Our focus is on other people and helping other people. But yeah, we've got to do that to do that.
Exactly. You also talk about the soul and the spirit on your website. Can you tell us what's the difference between soul and spirit?
So the spirit is, how do I explain it? Okay, the spirit is like something inside us which is inactive until we get, till we're born again, and then it's opened up to the Holy Spirit. The soul is our identity. It's our self. Whereas the spirit is a connection. Does that help?
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Okay.
Now, the New Testament talks a lot about the importance of renewing our mind. Is that the same thing as mindfulness?
Very similar. It works kind of in conjunction with each other. So renewing our mind is being aware of our thoughts. It's retraining the focus of our mind from negative to the positive thoughts to create new habits. It's the focusing on God. It's Romans 12 says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds.
Okay.
And mindfulness is, in conjunction with that, it's noticing our mind, noticing what it's doing.
Yeah.
And by renewing our mind, we are noticing it and turning our focus around.
Yeah. I know generally speaking, when people talk about mindfulness, it's more psychology based and it's secular. So how do you think the mindfulness fits in with Christianity? Is that an easy thing for you?
Well, I suppose it's like being mindful in the secular terms. It's something that needs practicing, and with practicing it can become a habit. So secular terms, you're being mindful of the moment, you're being mindful of what's around you, you're being mindful of how you're feeling. So I've just applied Christian beliefs and faith into mindfulness by being mindful of what God has given us. So again, what's in front of us, what can our senses, what we can see, feel, hear, etc., that we can thank God for, like the trees, we can hear the birds sing, it's practicing that and being grateful for that. It's being mindful of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what the Father created for us, the Son, he died for us, the Holy Spirit, we can connect with the Spirit, and being mindful of the Spirit, we are listening to him.
Yeah. So do you think Christians with a mental illness have a rougher time than most folks do?
Possibly. I mean, for instance, it just goes back to what we were saying earlier about not thinking that our faith is strong enough or our relationship with God is strong enough, or perhaps maybe when we, like, people have comfort things, don't they? Like, for example, maybe people go to drink or drugs or sex or food, and that's your comfort that people go to when they're feeling those extreme feelings. And like I talk about in my book and my blog, it's about refocusing. It's going back to that refocusing and changing our behaviors and our mindset and our habits. And again, it's not easy. It is hard, but the more we practice it, the more it becomes easier.
Yeah. So what do you think is the hardest challenge being a Christian with mental illness? What do you find the most difficult?
I suppose, like I said, maybe the temptations.
Temptations to abandon faith, or what?
Like what I just mentioned before, like food, alcohol. But again, it'll also depend on your own journey and where you are mentally, and where you are with God. But I expect that people have different experience, different things, and
Have you ever heard anybody say that being a Christian is a mental illness in itself? I've heard people say that.
I have. Obviously, I can't mention names, but someone that I knew, they were going through mental illness, but at the same time, they were struggling with their faith, and they were talking to the mental health team about hearing from God, and they got sectioned. So, people can talk to or hear from God, and people who don't know that or understand the Christian faith might think that it's demonstrating psychotic or schizophrenic behaviors. I mean, I can see why people would think that, and it doesn't help when someone is not only experiencing poor mental health, but is struggling or in the faith as well. So it's kind of I think it's more helpful when you've got a professional that understands from both aspects, to be honest. And I think that's really important that people can understand and get that, because I'm not denying that I hear from God. I hear from God as much as I listen to him. Yeah. He talked to me earlier. Doesn't make me psychotic. It just means I'm in a relationship with him. But I can see how people who don't understand that would think otherwise.
Yeah. Sometimes people try to use logic and reason to explain faith, and you can't do that. You know, it's a different thing. Totally different thing. So what advice would you give to people who have a mental illness? It's never done anything to never sought any help, what would you say to them?
Talk about it to anyone you can, someone you can trust, family, a friend. If you don't have that, a local church or your church, the leadership from this. Though I would recommend the leadership, not just anyone, because they're trained in listening and not. And yeah, they're trained in that. Talk to your doctor or journaling. I've found massive help. Like people, well, whether you've got someone to talk to or not, journaling is fantastic because it's a way of expressing your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings, and it's getting it out. You just need to get it from there out. And also, one in four people suffer from mental health issues at least one time in their life. It's not as uncommon as people think it is. And chances are, whoever you talk to has either experienced it or know someone that has as well. So don't be afraid and speak up, speak out. Don't suffer with it alone.
A lot of people have suffered needlessly by trying to be strong for too long, and I'm guilty of that. I went through that. It was only about 10 years ago when I finally admitted that I needed medication for anxiety and depression. And, you know, once I accepted that help, it definitely changed my life for the better. You know, it's something that I needed all along because I had anxiety and depression as a child, and I learned to self-medicate with alcohol and drugs. And that certainly set me on a long, long, hellish road for a while. So I'm grateful that I could get through that. You know, there's alcohol and drugs are not the solution unless they're the right drugs, you know, under a doctor's care, given the right way. That's the big difference right there. Now, do you find that it's easier to have friends that have a mental illness?
No. Most of it doesn't matter. I mean, your friends are your friends.
So what do you think what is the biggest myth about mental illness?
Sign of weakness. People think that mental illness is a sign of weakness. Most certainly is not. In fact, the strongest people I know have suffered or are suffering with mental illness. It takes strength to fight it. Exactly. So that's definitely the biggest myth, I reckon.
Takes a lot of strength to get through the day sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes just definitely. Putting one foot in front of the other and moving ahead, that's all we can hope for. So what would you like to tell people about, more about what you do, how you help people, your website? Give us a shameless plug. Go ahead and say what you need to say so people can get in touch with you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so my blog talks about faith, improving mental health, resilience and well-being. You can find me at www.mindfulofchrist.net. You can also find my social media links through that as well. I've also written a book which was published in January. It's Christian-based cognitive behavioral therapy. So it's a course book combining cognitive behavioral therapy techniques with scripture, biblical meditation, prayer, and it combines the two. That's available on Amazon and also through my website as well. And I'm just starting to offer mentoring alongside that. So it's for either individuals to work on their own or small groups. So that could work in church setting. But if individuals aren't want to work on it on their own, then that's what that mentorship is for. I'm happy to do Zoom link like this. I offer it for free, just for maybe a donation at your will. So yeah, that's cognitive behavioral therapy and how to become mindful of Christ, and that's available on Amazon and through my website, which is www.mindfulofchrist.net.
Okay, great. Well, it has been great talking to you, Lauren. Thank you very much for being my guest today. Is there anything else you want to say that I haven't given you an opportunity to say?
I don't think so. I think we've done well. Okay. And thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am so glad to have you. Maybe we can do it again sometime if you're interested.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye. You too. God bless. Bye.